If you would, take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to the 32nd Psalm. We're going to be spending our time there this morning. There was a point in my life where I wanted it all. I wanted God to let me into heaven, and I wanted that fire insurance, but I wanted to live my life any way that I wanted to live it. It was so evident by the things that I said, and it was evident by the things that I did, by the way that I lived my life. But there came a time when I realized that I could no longer live this way. I had to make a choice. I was either going to live for Jesus, or I was going to live in my sin, and I couldn't do them both. As we look at this sermon today in Psalm 32, sometimes sermons are easy, sometimes they're hard. Some sermons are uplifting and some are challenging, and today we're going to deal with a very sometimes difficult, uncomfortable topic. We talk about confessing our sin. So there came a time in my life when I had to confess my sin. As a young boy, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I realized that I was a sinner in need of forgiveness. But there have been many times in my life since that day as a young boy that I had to come before my God and confess sin. Sometimes when we confess sin, it is a total reset in life, as we have found ourselves so far outside of where God would have us to be that we have to confess our sin and have a complete reset on life. And sometimes it is a simple confession to keep us on track. The psalm here is written by David. It's written by David after his sin with Bathsheba. Now, sin is an interesting thing. We don't usually set out to get ourselves involved in some horrible sin. We usually start out with something not so bad. At least it doesn't seem like it's that bad. So David, as he is king, he is supposed to be out with his men as they are in battle, and he finds himself at a place that he's not supposed to be. He's not doing what he's supposed to do as king, and so he finds himself at home while his men are at battle, and as he is there around the castle, he notices this pretty young lady, Bathsheba. And he decides that he likes Bathsheba, and he calls her into his home, and he has an affair with Bathsheba. But he's king. Not a big deal. He can cover that up so easily. Then he finds out that Bathsheba is pregnant. And so he's got to find another way to cover this up. And so he calls Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, back from battle. And he sends him home and says that he'll just go back and he'll be with his wife. And then that'll cover this sin of mine and things will be okay. The only problem was that Uriah was an honorable man. And he knew that he was supposed to be in battle. And while he was supposed to be in battle, he was not to be with his wife. And so David had to come up with a different plan. And so he sends Uriah to the front of the battle, has the people drawn back, and has Uriah murdered. And then he takes Bathsheba as his wife. And now it's covered. Nobody will know his sin. He has figured it out. Except there is one problem. God knows our sin. God knows our sin. We can cover it from everybody else, but we cannot cover it from God. And so we need to come to a point with our sin. We realize we have this sin in our life, and we confess our sin, and this sin brings forgiveness. There was a Sunday school teacher who was teaching her Sunday school class with children, and she concluded her lesson, and she wanted to make sure that all the children understood her point. And so she says to her kids, she asked them, "Can you tell me what you must do before you can obtain forgiveness?" And the class got quiet, and a little boy in the back raises his hand, and he says, "Well, I think you have to sin first." Too many times, we think that we can hide our sin. We think we can ignore our sin. We think we can justify our sin. But the truth is that God always knows our sin, and it hinders our relationship with Him. We need forgiveness. We need forgiveness, but first we need confession. We have to acknowledge our sin. And so this morning, as we look at Psalm 32, this is my challenge to you. I'm going to ask you this morning, as we look into God's Word, to be honest about where you are in your life. To really be honest about maybe some sin that you have in your life. Maybe this morning take the opportunity to confess your sin and to look and see if you are really living the way that God would have you to live. And if not, I'm going to ask you this morning as we look at this passage to really dig deep and be honest before God about where you are. Let's read together Psalm 32. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be as a horse or as a mule which have no understanding, whose trapping include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise they will not come near to you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy all you who are upright in heart. As David begins this psalm, he uses three words here as he talks about sin. First, he uses the word transgression, which means an act of rebellion or an offense against someone else. See, for David, his sin was not just against someone. His sin was not just against Bathsheba. His sin was not just against Uriah, but he realized that his transgression was against God. After the affair with Bathsheba, he wrote these words. And after the murder of Uriah, he wrote these words in Psalm 51:4. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, since you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. See, our sin is not just how it impacts other people. Our sin is just not about the effect that it has on other people. We need to understand that our sin offends our God. Our sin offends our God. Second, he uses the word here, sin, which is translated means miss the mark, refers to our failure to live up to God's standards. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. See, David is king, and David has set standards in his kingdom, and David says things, and people listen to what he says. But when it comes to sin, even King David, David, the king of the nation, even David cannot set the standard of what is right and what is wrong, what is sin and what is not sin. And we cannot set that standard. Our culture does not set the standard of what is sin and what is not sin. Our God sets that standard. God's word sets the standard of what sin is. And we need to understand that there is a standard of right and wrong, and it's not ours, it's God's. And no matter what we do, we'll fall short. We're going to fall short of the glory of God in our own power. And then third, he uses this word iniquity, which means a conscious or intentional offense. James 4:17 tells us, so for one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, for him it is sin. Let's be honest. In our life, have we known something was wrong and we said, you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. Have we known there's something that we were supposed to do and we said, you know what? I'm not doing it. I don't care if I know I'm supposed to. I'm just not going to do it. Because we are sinful people. These three words that David uses here in Psalm 32 gives us a complete picture of what our sin is like. It's an open conscience rebellion. It's a sin that falls short of God's glory, God's standards, and it's something that brings guilt upon us. But as David uses these three words for sin, notice he also gives us a beautiful picture of forgiveness. We see that in this passage, he says that our sin is forgiven. Our sin is taken away. It is lifted off of the sinner. The sin, the burden of sin is removed from us. This word forgiven literally means lifted up and carried away. It's as though God picks up all of our sins off of us, and then he takes them and he carries them far away from us. They no longer have to have impact on our life. And then second, he uses the word covered. He says our sin is covered. The imagery here is that our sin being forever hidden from God's sight. Have you ever had a really bad roommate? I had some roommates one time, and it was not a good situation. I didn't live with them very long, and they were really dirty individuals. And so I would come into the apartment, and there would always be something unclean, and some of it was really gross, and I'll share you from some of those stories. But I walked in one day, and there is a big bucket in the middle of our kitchen, just turned upside down there, and I kind of like, what? Why is there a bucket in the middle of our kitchen? And so I pick up the bucket, and there is a broken glass all swept under the bucket, and the bucket was put on top of it, and they left the apartment. I guess that they were too lazy to continue to clean it up. Covered. The idea of our sin being covered is that a record of our sins are blotted out and they're covered and they're forever hidden from view. It's not like God just puts a bucket over our sin and says, okay, we're going to ignore this for a little while, but sometime we'll bring it back up. It wasn't like God did that. God covered it. He took it away. It is forever hidden from view. So how does God do this? Why does God do this? Why does God carry our sin away? Why does he blot out our sins so completely? How can we have our sins so covered? My friends, we need to understand the truth of the gospel message. The truth of what Jesus did for us. So the answer is Jesus, that God sent his son, Jesus, to die on a cross for our sins. And he took up our sins and he carried them far away. He bore our sins on his body on the cross. And in him we have redemption. We have been bought. The price has been paid. And our sin is no longer there. We have forgiveness of sin. The blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus, covers our sin. And through faith in Jesus Christ, we can have the blessing of a clean record in God's eyes. See, because third, the psalmist uses the words, the phrase here, he does not impute iniquity. He doesn't count our sin against us. Our sin no longer has any value on our lives. We can have a clean heart. There are too many believers that are walking around today whose hearts are not clean. They're weighed heavy because they're carrying their sin, and they know that they're in sin. They know that what they're doing is wrong, and they're carrying their sin, and their hearts are heavy because they have not dealt with their sin. And verse 2 speaks of a person with a clean heart before God. A clean heart where God does not count a person's sin against him, because this person has laid their sin at the feet of Jesus. They were honest before God and they allowed him to take away the sin. Think about this beautiful picture. This is what happens when we fully lay our heart before God. There is no more deceit in our life. Look, let alone trying to deceive the people around us. Let alone trying to deceive the people around us. But trying to deceive our God. No more deceit. No more hiding. No more games of cover-up. You open up your heart and you make yourself completely vulnerable to God. And God says to you, I bring no charge against you. I keep your sin. It has no account. You are forgiven and you are free. And we need to come to a point in our life where we live in that freedom. In these verses, we see these three words for sin, accompanied by these three words for forgiveness. And this indicates the totality of our sin, but more importantly, the totality of God's ability to forgive our sin. And then David emphasizes that we cannot fake true confession or repentance. We can only rely and receive God's forgiveness when our confession and our repentance is sincere, and when we hold nothing back. Let's look at verses 3 through 5 again. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Notice as we read this psalm what David doesn't mention. See, I gave you all the background so you know exactly what was happening in David's life as he wrote this. But notice that David never mentions the sin. He doesn't mention what he did in Psalm 32. He doesn't even give us a hint about what he did. Why? Because what he did wasn't the issue. The issue was that he confessed what he did and he received forgiveness of God. The seriousness of the sin doesn't affect the capacity of our God to forgive us. It doesn't matter if it's a great big sin or if it's a little tiny sin, as if there's a big difference. It doesn't matter. God has the capacity to forgive us. And so after he sinned, in verse 3, he says, I kept silent. David shares that when I first sinned, when I first had this situation in my life, I kept silent. And that's when trouble began. So we can try to manage our guilt. We can try to cope with our guilt. We can try to rationalize away the guilt. We can try to blame someone else to minimize our guilt. Yeah, I sinned, but it wasn't really my fault because it was somebody else's fault. We can do these things. But observe what happens. David says as he did this, he dealt with emotional things, the groaning. And he had a physical issues. This is that affected his unconfessed sin. He described his physical effects. He says, my body wasted away. As David was sitting here dealing in the sin, he was impacted by the sin. As he kept it hidden, as he tried to not confess it, he had these issues and he was troubled. And he says, I was troubled all day long. I struggled in my sin. So we can try hiding our sin, but it catches up to us. And this is especially true if you're a believer. If you're a believer and you walk with Jesus and you have sin in your life, if I have sin in my life and I try to hold on to that sin, it's going to catch up with us. And you will never live content if you live both in sin and say you have a relationship with Jesus. Because we have a relationship with God, we are hindered in that relationship by unconfessed sin. David has these ailments, the result of God's discipline. He says that the Lord, your hand was heavy upon me. God was disciplined. There was separation in the relationship. And David feels distance in his relationship with God. He feels distance as God's hand is upon him. He feels like God is even hostile toward him. Have we ever been there? Or because of the way we choose to live our life, have you ever been there where you feel like there's distance between you and God? And you feel like God's not really there? And God is saying, just come. Confess to me, repent to me, and I am walking right beside you, and I am here. And David describes this forgiveness in verse 5. Look how simple these words are in verse 5. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. David says, I acknowledged my sin. Simply and clearly shared to God, this is what I did. Here is my sin. Our sin has to be exposed. And David came to a place where he no longer wanted to cover it up. And he exposed his sin. And this is not an easy thing to do. Friends, if we're dealing with sin, it's not easy to expose our sin. It may bring some guilt. It may bring some embarrassment. And we may feel some shame when we confess our sin. But those feelings won't last long because those feelings are taken away when we have the freedom of confession and we experience the forgiveness of our God. Whatever we expose and uncover in confession, God will soon cover and hide from view and lift away and take away. And then we allow God to work in our life as He restores us. Let's look at the last part of this passage once again. In verses 6 through 11, therefore let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they will not reach him. You are my hiding place, a presence. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me from the songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eyes upon you. Do not be as a horse or as a mule which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. David says, I acknowledge my sin. I acknowledge my sin to the Lord. And the Lord, he did not keep the knowledge of his sin aside. He openly laid them before God. And David said, my iniquity I have not hidden. And he's making the point that as long as he has hidden sin, he cannot experience the joy of God. But when he confessed his sin, he experienced the joy. It says in his passages that he came before God in a time that God may not be found. See, for David, he understands that, there may be a time we hold on to sin so long that, we'll not be able to find God. Our hearts will be hardened. Our hearts will be hardened. There may come a time when, it gets harder and harder and harder to confess our sin. And, David says, don't wait until you are so hindered in your sin that you no longer care about your sin, or you no longer notice that you're involved in sin, but come to Him when He is convicting you of your sin. If you are here this morning and God is speaking to you and God is convicting you of sin, come now and confess. Don't put it off. Come to Him while He is speaking to you, while He can be found. Come and confess to Him. Notice that with forgiveness comes confident assurance that God will protect and preserve them. While David experienced great pain due to this sin, this unconfessed sin, although he experienced this great pain, he looked forward to a peace and an assurance even in the most difficult of circumstances. He says that, God, you are my hiding place in verse 7. And in verse 9, he says, look, don't be stubborn like the mule or the horse that need a bit and a bridle. Don't be stubborn like them. Don't wait for that kind of discipline, but trust in the Lord, and He will surround you with unfailing love. What a wonderful promise we get from our God, that when you take cover in God, and He is your hiding place, and He surrounds you with protection and love, He will walk with you, and He will show you what is best for you. If we have received God's promises, if we have seen God's promise of guidance and teaching, don't be stubborn. If you know the truth of His Word, don't be stubborn. God desires for us to be teachable. He desires for us to come and respond to Him. Notice the contrast in verse 10. It says, many, many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. There is sorrow for the wicked, and there is loving kindness for those who trust in the Lord. David came full circle in the psalm. When you allow God to cover your sin and you experience the blessing of a clean record and a clean heart, when you receive that, when you try to cover your own sin, you experience the wastefulness and silence and the weariness of guilt. If you confess your sin, you experience loving kindness of God. When you hold on to your sin, you experience the wastefulness and silence and weariness of guilt. When you take cover in God, you're protected in this hiding place. David's wonderful experience of God's grace overflows at the end of this passage in worship. So this morning, here's the challenge. Who is covering your sin? This morning, are you covering your sin? Are you hiding your sin? Or are you allowing God to cover your sin and to take it away? Have you been playing the silent game with God and holding back confession? There's a God who invites you to pray while He may be found, to come and confess your sin and move His hand of a hand of discipline from your life to a hand of loving protection. If you've asked God to cover your sin this morning, then this is an opportunity where David encouraged you to spend time, rejoice, and shout for joy. I'm going to ask you this morning, if you are here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never experienced this relationship with Jesus, I'm going to ask you this morning to forget about what's happening around you, and I'm going to ask you to come forward and just say, I need this relationship with Jesus. I need to know what it means to be a Christian. I'm going to invite you to do that this morning. If you are here today and you're dealing with some sin in your life, I'm going to invite you to confess that sin. That may mean that right where you are, while we stand and sing, you stay seated because you need to do business with God. That might mean that you need to come down and pray at this altar as you feel the burden of God in your life. That might mean that you need to come and visit with me. I don't care what that looks like, but I'm going to ask you this morning, if you've heard God speak to you and God is dealing in your heart, that you respond to Him. Maybe God's doing something else in your life that we haven't talked about, but God is speaking to you. Respond to Him while He's speaking. While God is tugging at your heart, do what He has asked you to do. Listen to His voice.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Pressing right deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on.